Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. It is Penn State week. We're recording this on Friday. It is coming out today, the day before the game. And first, Jack, I just want to say, I have confirmation on Twitter the Eagle has landed. My guy, Bobby Stoops, is back in Iowa City. Bobby is back. We got Reggie Bush on the scene. We got all the boys back. Matt Leinart, like, we got everybody. So I'm so ready, dude. Fox Sports is coming to the Pentacrest tomorrow. Going to be a madhouse. Not game day, which that's a whole other debate. I've actually heard some rumors that basically ESPN just fucked up with their booking plans. Like, they didn't save a block of rooms this weekend, and then they were fucked. They couldn't do anything. But –
Well, the thing that
we got people, Bobby though, we got Bobby.
We'll get into it, but the thing that like people are really upset about with like game day not coming is like I understand everybody wants game day to come, but people don't for like realize game day. First off, like the Hawkeyes got game day in Ames, like that was because of Iowa.
Yeah,
and they brought Ashton Kutcher. They brought
on the Iowa. Yeah,
right. They brought the big black tractor. Like they had everything going for the Hawks. Like we had game day. I'm not phased that we didn't have it. Fox owns the rights. ESPN wouldn't compete, and they're gonna go hang out. I think they're doing some SEC game. I think this week. I don't really care.
No, they're doing Texas, Oklahoma. So
SEC, correct. So either way, like I really don't care. We have the I wouldn't even call it the minor league game day because I feel like they're like the UCF of the game day shows, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have some hype, but they don't have a lot of credibility.
They don't have the sting. They don't have the sting.
Right.
But I'm cool with it. In terms of former players and stuff doing a game like that. And like a coach and stuff, they have credible people doing it.
Yeah. Like, oh, and they don't have like Lee Corso, senile ass, like rambling.
And thank God Urban Meyer's not on this set anymore, because who knows? Urban Meyer would be wrecking Iowa City this weekend. So who knows?
But... Hey, how long do you think it would take Urban Meyer to find a beautiful blonde girl inside of Airliner on a Saturday night? Probably 2 minutes.
Oh, I think like a minute.
Yeah. And then he Kyle would come
lives,
back.
Kyle lives at Airliner.
Kyle, yeah, I don't think he's going for a Kyle girl. I think he's going for like a Tridel maybe. But yeah. Going into this game tomorrow, it's a 3 p.m. kick. A lot of people, again, are rattled about the start time for the game. Literally, I think 3 p.m. is perfect. Like, you get a sunset, you get the sun, you get everything that you would want from Kinnick, and – I don't think there's a better time for this game to be kicked off. Like, oh, we need a 7 or 8 p.m. kickoff.
No. Like, here's why it's perfect. It's perfect because you get the game, like, you get the game day feel to start the game, but the sun's going to set and it's going to turn into a night game in the fourth quarter.
Right. It's going to be like a Rose Bowl type feel. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, like, I think back to the Penn State game our sophomore year. That was a night game. It was freezing because it was late October, but it was rocking. Like, it was rocking at night. And it's just like when Penn State comes out and those, like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And like, I think too, for us to have that home field advantage, a day game at Kinnick, for Colorado State, it's an advantage, or for Kent State, it's an advantage. But we need those night games for it to be an advantage against the Penn State.
Oh, yeah. And you know? And your background's a perfect, like, that's the exact scene.
I'm already mentally in Kinnick.
That's the exact scene. The little sunset over the stadium, stripes. Like, that is what it's going to look like tomorrow. So I am.
Colin Cowherd says it's the best atmosphere in all college football.
And, you know, for Colin Cowherd, it takes a lot of balls for him to go on a limb and say that about Iowa.
Exactly.
Because he always says we're the fake ID of college football.
Yeah,
so
he's a hater of Iowa. Yeah. He hates Baker Mayfield. Like, literally, like, Baker Mayfield could throw a perfect game, like, have the perfect passer rating, and he'd still say, oh, he's not great.
He's more of a backwards hat guy. That's what Colin would say about him after throwing four touchdowns.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am so unbelievably excited for this. And one of our former guests we had on a while ago, last year, Chuck Long, we talked with him about the biggest game he was ever in, and it was number one Iowa against number two Michigan. Here.
Yeah, 1985. This is the biggest game since.
Yep. Yeah, this is the biggest game since 30 years. And that's an unbelievable feeling for Hawkeye fans because you never really see Iowa in that national conversation. And I think, like, for the first time, Iowa fans feel like they belong.
Yeah.
They feel like they belong.
They knock us. The AP poll voters knock us hard. They like, what I worry about with this game is if we lose, we fall to 8-10 or something. Like, if it's a close loss, we still fall a lot just because the AP poll voters just hate Iowa. Like, they're so, like, Iowa's an elite because they're not an offensive powerhouse, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, though, like, if you look at, like, 2015, you look at some of these games, like, we were always so close that we fell short. And this is the first time where Kirk is doing everything how Kirk does it. It's going – Kirk is coaching Kirk's way. He's not changing how he coaches because college football changes. And you look at this defense, dude. And one thing I love about it is we don't have that one star. Like, we have some great players, but we don't have that AJ Epinesa that gets all the talk, Josie Jewell. Like, we don't have that one name. And everybody just has to play together. Everybody has to do their job. They have to do the Patriots way. Just do your job. And I was watching some game film the other day, and Joel Klatt was actually breaking it down a bit and talking about that defense and the quarter system and that zone defense and just how, like, you know, Noah Shannon puts pressure on the quarterback, which then Campbell drops back and just reads the eyes of the quarterback, and he tips the ball, and then Turner picks it off. And just how all three of those guys have to work together and do their job to get that turnover and force that turnover. And it's just unreal. Just how we play together. I love the way we play as a team. And, like, one thing I was saying to my friends is Iowa is the only team. I treat our team as if we're a military. Like, we are a form of military. And the reason I say that is everything has to go a certain way. Like, if you look at how we huddle up, everybody huddles up in their spot every snap. Charlie Jones always goes in front of the right tackle. Like, Nico Reganey's on the left side. Like, everybody is in their spot in the huddle. It's not just circled, like, everybody just runs into a thing. Or, like, when we leave the tunnel, when we run out the tunnel, and when we go back in at halftime, everybody locks arms, everybody goes in together, compared to other teams where they're just running scattered, you know? Just everything's uniform, everything's calculated. And I think that helps. Like, nobody feels they're above the other guy, you know, on this team. And I just think in one person said in an article I read, in the landscape of college football, it was Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk Herbstreit said, in this day and age with social media, and it's all about me, not we, and players are more concerned about the playing time or whatever, this Iowa team just loves to play football. Like, all of them just love it. Like, if you don't love football, you're not going to succeed at Iowa. And it's not about the followers. It's not about building their brands. It's not about NIL. It's about doing your job on the field, and all that comes with it later, you know?
Yeah, it's about winning. It's just about winning. That's all it's about. And I think something that a lot of people have been saying for the last couple of weeks about this Iowa defense is they're so lucky and they get bailed out and this and that. And one thing, like, it's a cliche to say, but luck is opportunity and preparation meeting, and they have the opportunity to make plays, and Phil Parker has everybody prepared to be in the right place at the right time all the time. It won't end. Like, this defense is just a well-oiled machine that does not mess up. They
wait for others to make mistakes. That's all they do. And the thing is, when teams prep against us, I think they undervalue, I was always going to be in that zone defense. They're always we give our game plan away. Basically, we're running the same defensive scheme every snap of the game. We don't change it up. But the problem is, for teams that play us, is we let them make those big plays early on. Like, we give up some of those big yardage plays because we know they can't do that every snap of the game. So we let those, you know, 15, 30 yard passes go. And then what happens is, though, they keep trying to run those plays because they think they're working, and we just figure it out. We stop them. Like, we just stop them over time. And then as we stop those big yardage plays, as the game goes out, they turn the ball over because they make those mistakes. They slip up, you know, because then they start forcing throws and all that.
And I don't even think Penn State will be that type of team tomorrow. I don't think they're going to look for any big plays, or I think they're going to keep Sean Clifford in a shell and not allow him to make the mistakes, because you've seen the last 5 weeks. If you allow your quarterback to make the mistake, Iowa will capitalize.
And I think they're going to pound the rock a lot.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
I do, really too. I think my score prediction, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, mine's 13-10, around there. Like, I don't think this game is going to be a lot of points. I think there's going to be a lot of punts. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of punts. I think there's going to be a lot of field position being played.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be like a throwback to 80s football. Like, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of offense you'll see tomorrow. I think both offenses are very similar, but I think Iowa's got a little more ability to make something happen with an explosive play with Goodson and opening that up with the pass game.
Yeah.
With Penn State, they rely on Clifford and Dotson. And outside of that, they really don't have a ton. Their O-line's very suspect. Their defense, I mean, it's great. They got a great defense, but they can't. Their defense isn't like our defense. They don't score points. They just get stops. So Penn State's offense is going to have to come out and really try and get points on the board. And that's not a good strategy against Iowa. Like, you're going to mess up, I think. My confidence level going into this game compared to the Maryland game, it's a lot higher, because I think going into that Maryland game, not a lot of Hawkeyes knew like what we're going to see when we walked into that game. I thought that was a trap game. Everyone did. And at first, the first quarter, there wasn't a whole lot of momentum for Iowa. They opened up their first two or three drives with pass plays on the first down. And I was like, well, that's good. That's what we were hoping for.
We wanted Brian to air it out this game.
That's a game plan thing. And I like that, because that allows them to run the ball. And you see Maryland in that first quarter, they had a good play. They had a good drive. They tied it up, maybe even took a lead. I don't remember exactly. I was fucking cross-eyed. But after that first drive, you could just see Parker and the defense made those adjustments to where what Maryland found success in, it wasn't there.
They were stopping all the short throws. And if you watch some of the game back, because I did, some of the screen plays and stuff they'd run, there were 8 Hawkeyes surrounding that one player. Mm-hmm. Just the way they were playing the quarters and everything. Like, they just were killing it. Like, they're just like, oh, one guy touches the ball, everybody goes. Like,
right.
It was unreal.
I think Maryland's a little more dynamic offensively than Penn State. And that's the
athleticism on that team. For us to beat that was a statement game for us. Like, people are saying, oh, it's Maryland, but their wideouts, everybody was saying they had one of the best wideout duos in the country.
Tagovailoa was like killing it, which I just botched the name, but he was killing it.
Don't worry about it. Just call him Tua's brother.
I know. But like, he was killing it all year. Like, he only threw one interception all season. And like, to me, that was because people were riding high. And that's the thing too, is when you're relying on a quarterback like that, if he fucks up, your team goes down with that fuck up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We were like, literally their whole concentration was almost like how some teams have played Tom Brady, like the New York Giants in the Super Bowl in 07. We're like, this team's so unreal and so dynamic that we're going to just try to get Brady to mess up, because if Brady messes up, this is how we win, and that's how they won that Super Bowl. That's how we played them, was let's make sure the quarterback messes up, because if he messes up, we have the game. Like, we're going to be able to score the ball. Like, and it's just now what I'm curious about is more, how does our offense control the possession time and control the flow of the game against this Penn State defense? Because this is the hardest defense we're going to play, other than like if we played Georgia. Like, this is it, you know?
Definitely. And one thing that I think we all have to take a step back and realize is our offense goes against that defense every day in practice, you know? And that's a great bar to hold yourself to and practice against. And that was something we talked about with Ricky Stanzi, where what year was it? 2010. I think that team was.
Playing
against that defense every day and practicing and getting the best look you can get really prepares you for just about anything outside of, like you just said, Georgia. And if we're going to sit here and say Georgia's like the only team that can give us a problem, I'm cool with saying that, because that means we're playing them in December. So that's like, cool. That's totally fine. I think another thing to think about, and I thought back to last year's game, neither team, Penn State, that was their last loss, is when Iowa walked into Penn State and they beat their ass. But Penn State didn't start Sean Clifford that game. He came in relief last year.
Yeah.
Sean Clifford was
and
not
he went off
guy.
After it, that game.
Right. He went off. Will Levis was their guy. He left and went to Kentucky. I think he's better than Clifford, and people are still hyping up Clifford to be that dude. I don't think he's that dude. Like, he's a game manager. He's a Penn State quarterback. It's not like he's a world beater. So in actuality, like, yeah, Sam and I have biases, and we should because we're Iowa fans, but all bias aside, this game just looks like an Iowa win. You know, at home, biggest game, the quarterback's not a world beater, and you have to have a world beater to beat this defense. It doesn't look like Penn State has much of a shit's chance in hell because Iowa doesn't beat themselves. They never do.
Yep.
And they're at home. They know the job at hand. It should be business as usual. I'm not going to hype it up to be anything more than it is because they are just numbers for the media to talk about. You take the numbers away. Let's say it's two unranked teams right now. I still like Iowa by a touchdown.
And I think what's unusual about this game too is the team is excited about it, but they're not feeding into the hype of it. And I think there's a difference where you can be like, this is a game we worked for. We want these tough competition games. We want statement games, but it's not, oh, we're number three in the country. Number four, this is going to be whatever. They're not up playing this game for themselves. They're just like, who's the next opponent? It's like the military. It's just, who's the target? What do we have to do to accomplish the mission? Let's get it done and keep moving. And that's how they're treating it. Like, I've talked with some of the guys, and they're just, like, so locked in. And, like, one stat, too, right now, has the third longest win streak in college football right now. We're at 10 games. Penn State's at 9. They started that win streak the week after playing us. Mm-hmm. So one thing I'm interested to see, too, is what their attitude is when they're playing us early this game. If it's they're trying to force big plays, or if they're going to be trying to kind of match our play style of runs, keep it slow. You know what I mean?
I think they'll have to match it because I don't think there's any chance that they can take over in that type of way. I don't think they have the offense to put us on our heels and control the ball against us. I don't think that they have that. And the one game that I watched of Penn State's this year that actually like had me slightly concerned for this game was the Auburn game. And yeah. Again, that was a whiteout at home against an SEC team. That was a big matchup and test for them. They did great. They won.
Yeah.
Auburn still moved the ball, and I'm not a Bo Nix guy, but I think this Penn State team has a lot of hype and a lot of people that they want them to be the team that beats Iowa. Yeah, I think people want them to be the team.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think that happens.
But also, though, too, everybody every year for the last couple of years – gives Auburn so much hype when they're always not as good as the hype every year. And it's literally just because they're SEC. I think the Cam Newton effect is there too, where it's just like, oh, they won national championship 10 years ago now. Like, it's just, and it's so annoying that when people put, like, every year when a Big Ten team plays Auburn or something, they put so much value in that game. I'm just like, that game isn't what, like,
right.
Just, I look at it as like they're the Michigan of the SEC. Michigan gets a ton of hype every year, and they always fall flat. This is the first year where Michigan has a chance at anything. And I'm still skeptical on Michigan at this point. Until they play Ohio State, I'm not giving them credit.
That is, I will say, this is a little off topic, but Michigan is one of those teams right now in the Big Ten where if I had to choose any of the teams that I wouldn't want to play, they are the only one I wouldn't want to play right now. Because there's just so much we don't know about Michigan. I think we know what we would get from like Ohio State. Young quarterback, we can make him make mistakes. Michigan State, they've got a running back. After that, it's
they're really still too new all. With Mel Tucker there. They're just too new to have that culture. That like the thing with us is our culture is so deep, and people just buy into Kirk, and like that's there. Where if you're not doing this, you're done here. That like when we play those newer coaches, the players don't have the discipline ours have. Like they just don't. Like you can't. Like if you're there for 22 years, like Kirk. What he's built, like, you can't match that anywhere else, you know? Like, except Nick Saban. He's the only guy, I think. And the thing is, this has been my hot take, but if we played Alabama, they obviously their talent level was at another level, but Nick Saban and Ferentz come from the same coaching tree with Cleveland, and they've never really had that matchup since Saban was at Michigan State 20 years ago. And I wonder what that would be like because they run their team similarly in different ways. Yeah. And so I just want, I feel like for Saban's, you know, in terms of a coaching battle, that would be something he would love.
Because oh, definitely.
They come from that Belichick tree, similar mentalities. It just interests me so much, but that's looking ahead. But looking ahead, though, actually, for the Big Ten championship, breaking down Big Ten teams I would or wouldn't play, if we lose to Penn State, I don't want to, I want to play them again because I want to redeem that game. That's the only team I'm rooting for the rest of the year. But if we beat them, I don't want to see Penn State the rest of the season.
No, that exactly.
I can't play them a second time.
Next team.
The team I'm actually opposite of you. I'd want to play Michigan in the Big Ten championship because Harbaugh just always comes up short. And I just don't think with a new quarterback, like he always has a new quarterback. I just don't think that they could do what we could do in the Big
Ten. Well, and they rotate and, two quarterbacks right now. And
right, that's what I'm saying. What I'm
saying is if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So
and the other thing too, though, is I feel like that Michigan State Iowa 2015 Big Ten championship left such a sting on this Iowa. Oh,
yeah,
you know that Ferentz. If he had, if this is his last opportunity ever to get back here, he's not blowing it. You know,
no, definitely not. And I think we've seen time and time again this team just shows up and, like you've said, in a very military sense, they get the job done. I don't think this week is going to be any different. My score prediction, I already said, was 13-10. You said what?
10-3.
Yeah. Like it's going to be one of those. And I'm so damn excited. Like I wish today wasn't Friday.
Me too.
It's just such an ass day.
And the other thing though, before we kind of wrap it up with Iowa is, I don't know if you've watched Ferentz's press conferences lately, but Ferentz is, you know, like any coach is always saying we need to improve. But he was saying, I think even last week, like he showed a little bit more excitement after the win last week because he should. Like he shouldn't give those guys credit and let them enjoy it a little bit more and savor a win like that because of their preparation. But every other game, like the Indiana game, everything, he's like, great win, but I still don't know who we are yet. I don't know our team identity. And that was even when we were ranked 5. Like when he's saying, I don't know our team identity and he's not giving into it.
Yep.
That showed me like he is leading this team how we should be led right now. Ranking doesn't matter. He kept saying we're 5 games into the year. We're 6 games into the year. Ranking has no impact now. It has no impact. It's just another step along the way because the next week we could fall and then we're out of everything. We got to win. It's 1-0. Like people have been tweeting. It's a 1-0 week. And so what I'm excited about too is this win allows us then to go into the rest of the season with, okay, it legitimizes to those guys we are something by beating Penn State, but now it's we have to finish the job and get to that Big Ten championship. And that will be the goal. And I think it's like Iowa basketball last year. They were just so set on a Big Ten title. They fell short. But I think part of it too was, and not to knock Iowa basketball, but they gave in to the hype a little bit. You know, as
definitely. I mean, and I think it was hard not to for them, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not used to it in that culture.
But with this team, we've been there before and it hasn't happened. They're not letting it, you know,
right.
They're not giving in. And I love that. I love that we play with a chip on our shoulder and we, you know, we treat it like we're an underdog every game. And I love it. I love it. And they come in though. Like if you watch Riley Moss or any of those guys while they talk, they're like, we love the preparation. They're, like Riley Moss literally says, we did great stuff, but we need to improve on some stuff. Like we're not there yet. And that's what we need in the leaders on this team. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One little correction on the win streak. Iowa's going for their 12th win 12? In a row right now. Yeah, they're going for 12 this week. I saw a tweet
that said 10.
So they're at 11 right now. Penn State is going for either number 9 or number 10 right now.
Okay.
So that's where, like, both teams are the hottest teams in college football right now outside of any SEC team that gets that attention.
No, we won 6 in a row and we won 4.
We're going on 5 now.
You're right.
We're going on 12. So I don't think there's any bigger game that we'll ever see in our young lifetimes right now than this one. And I think it's really cool for us to like be able to sit here and say, this is the biggest game we will ever feel right now. But it doesn't feel like that, you know, because we just, we believe in their preparation and taking this one game at a time. The hype's not too much. And it's kind of weird to say this, but it almost felt like there is a little more hype for that Iowa-Iowa State game in week 2 than this one in terms of like excitement and like all that people energy. Are pumped.
Like, I think tonight and tomorrow morning it will hit. Like, this is
definitely
it. And yeah. Like, I think the media and the university itself has been hyping it up more than the fans have.
And yeah. I think easily
compared to state. And I think part of it too is people just don't want to get the hype going too early. And like, I think there's this little bit, right. Like, you know, walk the fine line of, we don't want to talk, you know, because also too, it's not like we're 3 and they're 10. Like, this is 3 and 4. Like, everybody knows this is a losable game too for us. It's not going to be easy. And I think that helps this team with pressure of, we're not expected to win it. If we win it, it's smooth sailing from here. But if we lose it, it's a good fought loss.
Right. And it's Iowa, in their last 8 against Penn State, I think we're 1-7. That game last year was the first win in a while. So they got on the right foot of this rivalry that isn't even a rivalry, you know?
Yeah.
That is something I actually wish they would introduce a trophy.
Yeah.
Because I like this game.
Because we play Penn State like every year now.
Yeah.
Like, we've played them every year.
It's a legit rivalry.
Here, you know?
I don't think either side likes each other at all.
No.
Like, I wouldn't root for Penn State. I don't think Penn State would root for us, like, in the postseason.
No, and the thing I wish was going on now, which I think would have helped us, is if there was continued buzz right now about Franklin and USC. I really wish more people were talking about Franklin possibly leaving for USC. And
He's such a goofball. I hate James Franklin so much. I think he is the biggest goofball used car salesman I can't stand his goofy ass demeanor. I just can't. And I don't know how the players like buy into that shit, especially at a school like Penn State with such a rich culture. Like,
because he is a guy that I would expect. I will say he is a smart guy.
Okay, cool. He's a fucking weirdo. I don't him at all.
Well, dude, he lived apart from his family during last year, remember that? During COVID.
He just didn't even live with them?
He didn't live with them because he had a coach and they live somewhere else, I think.
That's not my coach.
Yeah, I know. Parents would never stay away from the family.
Never.
Dude.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. But, dude, we got the score predictions. I'm so hyped. Like, this is going to be the most memorable weekend, I think, of being football, like football here at college. And, like, the one thing I want to end on, for me at least, is one reason I chose Iowa in terms of the sports factor was I always knew we could get 10. You never know if it's going to be top 5, bottom of the top 25, or maybe right outside the top 25, but we're always in it. And to think about our last 4 years, our freshman year, we were bottom of the top 25. Sophomore year, middle of the pack, we were around 15, somewhere in that range, 15 to 18. Last year, we were ranked, you know, middle of the
pack. Last year was a roller coaster.
But we went on a run. We went on a run where if that was a full year, if we went like 10-2, we would have made a New Year's Six, you know, because we went undefeated those last 6 games. And this year, it's just like the peak. Like, we were at the peak. And the thing is, I almost want to stay a fifth year because almost everybody's coming back next year. And it's just like, what could this team be next year, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and with some of the young talent they might bring in from recruit, it's just like, it's so fun, dude. And it's just like, people always have given me shit. Like, we don't bring in 5 stars, you know, fans of the SEC, some of these ACC schools. I'm like, those are the guys who are all about me. We get the 5 stars that are about we. And like, they know you're sitting a year, you're developing, and they come out monsters. The Tristan Wirfs, the Tyler Linderbaums, the Goodsons, where Goodson sat a little bit freshman year, but they were like, throughout the year, you get another carry, you get another carry. Your talent, you earned a spot. Like, I just love our culture of development, make you earn it. And when you come onto a starting spot, we can trust you and you're reliable. Like, I've never felt that there are guys in our offense, except for Petrus last year, that were really like weakest links. I always felt like we had guys that could do their job, you know? Yeah.
And
some
kind
college
of
teams have huge cliffs that, you know, certain players just fall off. So it's just, you know,
to build off what you just said about we don't get 5 stars. Interesting little thing right here. Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker are going to Southeast Polk tonight to go look at Xavier Nwankwo and Kane Proctor.
I think those got Xavier.
I do too. But I think that just shows like where Iowa is able to contend with Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, whoever the fuck, for a DB. And all these schools love to call themselves DBU, DBU. we're keeping this a kid was the state,
year. Yeah, this right? was the year to get him too. It's like,
and that and
for him
that
to
shows.
See the ball hawking defense we have, he's like, oh wow, like I can put on some highlights for NFL teams here. Like, and Proctor, it's like, dude, you could beat Tristan. You know, he gets the Wirfs comparison, but Wirfs, Linderbaum, Scherf, like so many of these guys. But
I see some Penn State fans outside my window.
The thing though, too, though, is I feel like if we get this guy, we might be able to get one or two more five stars out of state. Yeah. You know, with this run we go on.
It's what Iowa has done these last 18 months has flipped the script on what people think of Iowa football in terms of they always say they're this old school. They don't do a whole lot of pretty flashy things. You don't need to, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that's how Iowa's been. And we're top five right now. I'm not going to say we're number three because we're top five. Numbers don't really matter. And we're able to contend with five stars when people always say we don't.
Yep.
We have the culture. We have the ability. We have the coaching to get five stars. If we don't.
But I love the grittiness of our guys, you know? Dude. We don't need them, dude. Like, that's what I love is I love the complimentary ones. Like the AJ Epinesas. Like, he was a five star. Like, yeah. We had him on the defense. But did we need him? No, we could have developed a three star to be in his spot. Like, look at our D line, dude. Like, people were so worried we weren't going to have a dude. And now everybody's just like, they're all monsters.
Yeah, it's a unit. Like it's just like, a wolf pack.
Yeah. Like Van Ness developed, which I was shocked how well he's played. He's been getting sacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Shannon's been doing what I thought he'd do. I love watching him play Van Valkenburg. Like, dude, like, we got dudes. We got dudes. Yeah, like Jack Campbell. Dudes. Dude, he's
Jack Campbell's the best linebacker I've ever seen. Period.
Yeah.
Legit.
He's so smart. He's always in the right spot. Like, dude, he's got fumbles. He's got, you know, I love this defense.
He's a
dude.
Mutant. Yeah. It's, we could go on for days talking about this.
And this is the game. I'm like, if we need a touchdown for this game, I want Charlie Jones to run one back. This would be the game to do it, dude. I'm calling it now.
This is your bold prediction right now.
This is my bold prediction. Charlie Jones gets the touchdown this game.
I like that. I think that, like,
because that would, like, cap, like,
a play like that, you can't – if you're an away team playing in that type of environment and you get a return for a touchdown, you can't come back from that.
Yeah,
you know?
And Torrey Taylor gets at least two balls within the six-yard line.
Oh, yeah, he'll pin them. At least. Put them right in the coffin. Don't even worry about it.
I can't
wait.
It's
just business as usual.
Dude, I love watching Torrey just letting them fly, dude. Like,
it's
an art.
This team, Sam. It's just –
And to see national commentators now drool over us, I'm just like, finally.
Blessed,
like,
man.
Yeah, it's great.
I got Jack. Nothing else, man. I am damn excited.
I'm just so – this got me even more hype.
Yeah. Well, everyone that's listening, if you're not going to the game because you don't have a ticket, I mean, I understand. They're like $1,000 to get in. So, like – and don't get, like, scammed. Like, there's a bunch of people paying for online tickets and they don't get their tickets. Don't be an idiot. Like, go get a physical ticket if you can, because you'll probably get scammed otherwise. This is the type of game to get scammed at. But, yeah, like, enjoy yourself. Who knows if we'll ever have a weekend like this again. So, let loose. Like, this is what college is about. It's so cool that we get to be a part of this national conversation where the eyes of the nation get to look down on Iowa City for this game. It's really cool. It's a really cool opportunity. But for everyone listening, get drunk this weekend responsibly. Not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.